Now we ask each and every one of you to get your Bibles and turn with us to St. Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. We want to bring you a message upon the kingdom of God tonight. A passage that is misused by the dispensationalists in this day in which you and I are living. Now in St. Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, we shall begin reading with the first verse. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Now may God bless the reading of his holy word. I feel led again. I've spoke from this verse of scripture before, but I feel led to speak again tonight. Now in this age of apostasy, as we've stated before, we see that not only has the professing church left the truth of the sovereignty of God, predestination and God's plan and purpose before the foundation of the world, but the devil, being cunning, more cunning than even Daniel, has slipped a curve across to the people about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the kingdom of God. Now, the dispensationalists, they are teaching the premillennialists that the next phase will be that there will be the rapture of the church, and then God's going to turn back to earthly Israel once more, and he's going back like he used to be under the law, and then there's going to be 1,000 years, and after that 1,000 years... During that time, there'll be a few Gentiles saved through these missionaries, the Jewish nation going forth, and then there will come the great white throne judgment and run on into eternity. But the Word of God doesn't teach that. The old fathers didn't teach it. The Word of God does not teach that they are teaching today in dispensationism and premillennialism. But the Word of God plainly teaches that when God was through with the Jewish nation, that he is now turned to the church, the spiritual Israel made up of both Jews and Gentiles out of every nation, tongue, and kindred under heaven. It teaches us that when he left the earthly Jewish temple, the temple of Solomon, when he brought the disciples together and told them there would not be one stone left upon another, but they all must be thrown down. He left what we call a sanctuary. He left with his Shekinah glory behind the curtains in the Holy of Holies between the cherubims and upon the mercy seat. And now he's indwelling men and women. As Stephen said, that God does not dwell in brick and mortar or made with man's hands, but he dwells in the hearts of those that's redeemed by the grace of God. Now, he took his leave of the earthly temple, and he's in living the living temple. The church is called the temple of God. It is called the house of God. The church in the kingdom of heaven in the spiritual realm is one and the same thing. So we believe with all of our heart that our Lord is now on the throne of David. We find over in the third chapter of Revelation, even the premillennialist claims that it is at the end of the third chapter when the rapture takes place, symbolizing that John was caught up into heaven. But the Bible doesn't say that the church goes there. In fact, we believe that the book of Revelation is a preview of history, and the Lamb of God is breaking the seals and revealing history. We're right now way over in the book of Revelation. We're getting close to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to prove that, we find it here in this ninth verse. And he said unto them in the first verse, I say unto you that there shall be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. He was talking about those that he was speaking to at that present moment. Now, who were some of those that he was talking to? The second verse tells us, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. Well, now, Peter, James, and John was in this multitude of people that he was talking to. And where did he take them? He leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now, he had just stated that there were some that would not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, I want you to get this very closely. The kingdom of heaven is in the presence tense now, in the spiritual realm. Jesus himself says, know ye not that the kingdom of heaven is within a man? And we find that what the contents of that kingdom is in a man. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We find that over in the 14th chapter of Romans, I believe it is, and the 17th verse. Jesus himself taught in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 36th verse, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's present in, and then all of these other things will or shall be added unto you. John, in the first chapter of the book of Revelations, as the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to John on the Isles of Patmos, stated that he was their companion in the tribulation and the kingdom of Christ. He claimed, John, the beloved John, that he was in the kingdom of Christ at that very time. When the Lord asked Simon Peter that great question, Simon, Simon, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And all those great words that came forth when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then our Savior said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Then he goes on to tell Peter. Now, it's not Peter himself, but it's the faith. It's the apostolic faith in Christ. That's the foundation of the church. We're built upon the apostles and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the Word of God teaches us. And he told Peter, I'll give unto you the keys of what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Right then, in present tense, and whatever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Jesus himself also said, except you receive what? The kingdom of heaven as the little child. That was in present tense. So what is the kingdom of heaven? It's the Holy Ghost rule and reign, revealing Christ as Lord upon the throne of your heart, and leading the church and empowering the church in their pilgrim journey here upon this earth. And then they'll go into the eternal in the new heaven and in the new earth. Now they saw the kingdom of heaven, God come with power up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were elevated above the sinful world when God, the Son, revealed Himself as the King of the kingdom. Brother, you and I, we've got to get in the heavenlies to see and to understand the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, which is one and the same thing. Now, when they went up into this high mountain apart by themselves, He was transfigured before them. This proved that He was God's eternal Son. This proved that He was God in the flesh. He was transfigured. In other words, He was altered. He was glorified in their presence, being the Son of the living God, and they were seeing the kingdom of heaven in power. Now, that is the reason He told them not to tell no one. Why was they not to tell anyone till later? Because on the day of Pentecost, the exalted Christ at God's right hand was made real as Lord of the church and the kingdom in the hearts of the believer through the infilling and the empower of the Holy Ghost. So people, the Holy Ghost age is the kingdom age, the present age. We'll go in later to the new heaven and the new earth when God has put away everything that opposes and is in opposition to the kingdom of heaven or the church of the living God. Now I want you to notice something here. We've found out already that the kingdom of heaven is in its present tense. We find that the church now is ruling and reigning. Some has already gone on to be with Christ, but He's ruling and reigning now. He's in the midst of the church, the candlesticks. He is the one that is seen by those that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and He has become their Lord. It said, and His remnant became shining. Now the parts of the kingdom of heaven is that you must have the righteousness of the remnant of righteousness, which is none other than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, a depraved sinner, he's naked before the eyes of God. And the Holy Ghost, when He awakens a dead, alienated sinner, He can see his nakedness, his rebellion against God. And oh, to be clothed so that that nakedness will be hid when Jesus comes. He cries to take His fig leaves like Adam and Eve and sew them together, but they will not hide their nakedness from the eyes of Him that has eyes like a flame of fire that pierces to the uttermost, to the depth of the heart. They must have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said in it, they must have His remnant. A part of this kingdom is to be clothed. We're in the king's court, and we're to be clothed as become subjects of the kingdom of grace. And the only way to be clothed and to sit at the marriage supper and to have on the white robe is to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Augustine, when it came to that verse of Scripture in the book of Romans, and be ye clothed with Christ, that was the minute that His nakedness disappeared. And He became the great Father He was in the church, so to speak, to lead God's church and God's sheep. So we find here that His remnant was exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. I'm so thankful that through the blood of the Lamb, and we find over in the book of Revelations that the elect of God, the Savior, in the blood of the Lamb. They have on white robes, which is a symbol of purity, cleanliness, and righteousness. Then it says, and there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now you say, preacher, where does Moses and Elias fit into the kingdom of heaven? Moses and Elias, Moses represents the law, and Elias represents the prophets. They spake of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Scripture spake of the kingdom age being the church age. It sure did. Jesus himself could say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Because Abraham had prophesied that God would raise up another like unto him, and he would teach the people, and they would obey him. And he was speaking of Jesus, and that is now in the present tense. There was Moses and Elias, all of the prophets spake of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spake of the kingdom of heaven being set up. Now, where the Jewish remnant, a remnant, missed it, they was looking for an earthly reign, not a spiritual reign. And that's exactly what dispensationism has done today. The church now is looking for the rapture, and that the nation of Israel will be brought back and go back like she used to be, and offer up sacrifices and to build of the temple back in Jerusalem, and that Antichrist will set himself up and so forth and so on. Brother, they're looking for something that's materialistic, and they're missing it because, now do you get it? Every Jew and Gentile, and it makes the church and the kingdom is made up both of Jews and Gentiles and out of every nation, tongue, and kindred under heaven, and they'll all be saved before God Almighty catches his church up to be with him and then to bring them back to the new heaven and the new earth. There'll never be a Jew saved after the rapture. There'll never be a Gentile. Brethren, it's all over then. You say, well, preacher, it says over in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations that the dead raise not again for 1,000 years and they rule and reign with him 1,000 years. You know when that 1,000 years began? It's a complete number. It began at the first coming of Jesus, and it'll end at the second coming. We've been in it all the time. You say, well, preacher, it said 1,000 years, but the book of Revelations is a symbolic book. Who would have the audacity to say that Jesus was walking in the midst of literal candlesticks? Who would have the audacity to say that the Lord Jesus Christ, why, he was speaking symbolically of walking in the midst of the church. Who would have the audacity to say that in the book of Revelation, when those unclean spirit leaps out like frogs, if that's really frogs, well, that's a symbolic picture. The stars in the hands of he that was in the midst of the church, which was the angels, he plainly tells you that's not symbolic. I mean, that's not realistic. It's symbolic. It is realistic, but it's a symbolic picture of the real that's going on in the midst of the church until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, nowhere in the Scriptures can you teach that Jesus taught, and he was the prophet of prophets on earth, that there's going to be a 1,000 years on out yonder after this period. And if it was as important as the dispensationalists and those that teaches dispensationism and Israel coming back, if it was that important, Jesus would have surely mentioned it. This world is set up just like the Jewish nation, the Gentiles is. They're looking for a materialistic kingdom when, dear soul, it will be the eternal kingdom when Jesus comes and raptures the church and then purifies this earth with fire and the judgment seat and the new heaven and the new earth and hell is put for time and eternity. Moses and Elijah here was talking. But Moses and Elijah wasn't in that kingdom as we're in it today because the king had not come and been born and manifested himself and been incarnated. You couldn't have the kingdom here until the king revealed himself. And Jesus was Lord of lords and King of kings. And he's exalted now as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he has made us both kings and priests. But we see that Moses and Elijah were there showing and proving that this very moment was what was spoken of by the law and by the prophets. Those animal sacrifices and the law pointed to the Lamb of God, which would be slain, the Jubilee years and all of those appointed to the day of grace and the church age, when we would not be drunk on wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the prophets spoke of that day. They spoke of this day. And here the kingdom of heaven is revealed, and God, the Son, is proving that the Old Testament economy is moving into the new and the living and the better way, which is the kingdom age. And he said here that they appeared there on the mountain and they were talking with Jesus. They talked with Jesus in the Old Testament. They was talking about his decease. Why? Because after his decease, then the kingdom of heaven would come forth in power in the church. It would be embodied and empowered to go forth, teaching and preaching Jesus, the exalted Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost unto all the ends of the earth. Now look at the fifth verse. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and then what does it say? I want you to get this real good, and one for Elias. The Lord told us in another scripture that he didn't know what he was saying. Now he was wanting to build three different tabernacles, and if the dispensationalist is right, the Lord will build two different tabernacles. He's going to build the church, then he's going to build the nation of Israel. He'll build two tabernacles. But dispensationism is wrong. God is not building but one tabernacle, and that's the church. Made up of both Jews and Gentiles. He tells us in the book of Romans, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, that circumcision which is of the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and that circumcision which is not of the flesh but of the Spirit. It's those that's been born again and operated upon by the grace of God, and the filth of the flesh has been cut loose, and now their hearts are bubbling over with the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, praising him and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That's the essence of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Peter wanted to build three tabernacles. Today, people are still wanting to build more than one church. They're just like Peter. They don't know what they're talking about. They're talking at random. This dispensationism wasn't taught by the old forefathers. No, sir. There was a Jewish theologian, because in the Reformation, the old-timers was pointing out that the line of popes was the Antichrist. And later on, over in England, Irwin and them, and a tongue-speaking woman came forth and said it was to be, Israel was to come back, and Irwin gave it to J.N. Darby, and J.N. Darby and them got it over to America, and the Schofield Bible has covered this whole world with dispensationism, and it's got this world looking for a materialistic kingdom when the kingdom of heaven is already in progress. Amen? And that's why Jesus let this transfiguration. Trans means to move over. It showed how the Old Testament age would move into the power age, the kingdom age. Jesus Christ tells us through the Apostle Peter that we are a living stone. And we are joined one to another, and we grow into a holy temple. For what purpose? To offer up praises and sacrifice, spiritual sacrifices of praises unto our God. That's what we're here for, to worship God, to praise Him. That's the essence of the kingdom of heaven here upon this earth as we wait His second coming. My brethren, sure is pathetic today. People say, well, Israel's going back. That doesn't mean that Israel is going to be favored in more. Let me tell you this. If God Almighty takes the Holy Ghost out like dispensationalism teach when the church goes out. How in the world will anybody get saved on this earth? And they claim they're going to be a great host saved. How can anybody be saved without the person of the Holy Ghost? They cannot. They must be born to the Spirit. And another thing, if he turned back to the nation of Israel as a whole, Jesus would walk back. The veil of the temple would have to be sewn back up, that God tore in twain from top to the bottom when Jesus died for his sheep on Calvary, and he would undo the death of Jesus Christ. It will not be done, people. It will not be done. The nation of Israel is still in existence because it's a hissing, because as a nation it forgot God, and it's still a mark of the divine wrath of God upon a nation that forgets God. And it's going to be upon America the same way if God doesn't move in mercy and come again. It's going to happen to America. But God is not making but one temple, one body. In Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it tells us that the church is the body of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, in several parts of the last verses, there it tells us that the church is the body of God Almighty, the eternal Spirit. The church is the body of the Holy Ghost, our body, we that are born again. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, and we're to glorify God in our body, spirit, and soul, which is the Lord. But today, through spiritual ignorance, and remember that the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, said there was one time that God winked at ignorance, but it's not so now. The Holy Spirit has come. But through gross ignorance, men and women are trying to bring forth more than one tabernacle. And the sixth verse says, "For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now here's the cloud, the heavenly body. It was a cloud that he led the children of Israel by day, as through their wilderness, in the wilderness of sin, and a pillar of fire by night. It was this cloud. When that cloud moved, the nation of Israel would move with that cloud. They were led by that cloud. Here is the cloud, the heavenly body, that is overshadowed here on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Moses representing the law, and Elias representing the prophets. And then all at once, here comes a voice out of that cloud. What did that voice say? This is the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient Father speaking. And he said, from that voice, and remember he's speaking today, his voice is coming through the Scripture. He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now what is the essence of the kingdom of God here in this earth? It's Jesus being Lord of your soul, sitting upon the throne of your heart, and you're listening and obeying what he has commanded you through the Word of God and the eternal Spirit. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Now, I'm going to bring something out here that we need to know. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, "You call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say." Now, dear soul, you can say, "Lord, Lord," all you want to. But he's not your Lord if it's not accomplished with obedience. What caused sin anyway? What caused all of the misery in this world? Broken homes. Wars with men and women. Men falling in their own blood and wallowing there because of the rage of the devil and the rage of the wicked heart. It was because our forefather and foremother, Adam and Eve, disobeyed the commandments of God. They wasn't obedient to God. And what is salvation but bringing us back into obedience to God through the new birth, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my commandments, they are not grievous. And when I see men and women say they love the Lord, and the commandment of God is, do not forget the assembling of yourselves together, even as some do, even the more as we see that day approaching, I know that Christ is not their Lord. When I see men and women not dressing according to the commandment of the Word of God, I know, no matter how much profession they have, that Jesus is not their Lord. And dear soul, when I hear men and women saying that they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they do not love His Word and have a relish for His Word and want to be around God's children, when the Bible says that he that is begotten of God loveth him who is begotten of God, I know that Jesus is not their Lord. If He was their Lord, they would do the things that He has commanded them, because He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The reason people are falling off from this church, they're not born again, and Jesus is not their Lord. If they was, they would keep His commandments. And the missing note in the gospel today is the Lord's repentance and the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember this, people. He cannot be your Savior unless He's your Lord. And He cannot be, if He's your Lord, He is your Savior. One of the first things that Saul did, or the Apostle Paul, when he was knocked down on the road of Damascus, one of the first words were, Lord, what will you have me to do? In the book of Corinthians it says, no man can say Lord except for the Holy Ghost, and nobody will cry by the Holy Ghost from the depth of their heart, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, until the Holy Ghost is still a work of grace. We find that there will be a group that will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in your name and cast out devils? But He's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And this is that group which He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, but they would not enter therein. So we find in the Word of the living God here in the Scripture on the Mount of Transfiguration, that He knew not, that there was the voice, the cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. The essence of the kingdom is the exalted Christ at God's right hand, ruling and reigning in the armies of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth, ruling and reigning in His church through love and by His commandments. They're pleasing Him and worshiping Him with righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of heaven, and it's right now in present tense. Now these men that fills these great big arenas and make all of these decisions, how many of them will preach the Lordship? How many of them tells them, if you God's your Lord, you'll quit the movie business instead of making them? How many of them get up there and say, if you're born again, led from dope, you'll quit letting your hair grow out like a woman? You'll cut it because the Bible said it's a shame for a man to wear long hair, and you'll cut it. How many of them preaching that? They preach it, they couldn't fill these great stadium and arenas full if they would preach Jesus as Lord. But there's one thing sure. If He never becomes your Lord, He'll never be your Savior. It's impossible. It's impossible. Why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? Jesus Christ said that. Over in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, when He gives forth the parables of the kingdom, and the good seed and the bad seed, the tares and the wheat, He said they would be here until the end of the world. Not one raptured out, but they would be here to the end of the world. And He said the same thing in the net that was cast into the sea. It would be in the end of the world when He would separate the good from the bad fish. He's likening men unto fish there. So, dear soul, this world is not getting better and better, like some say, but it's waxing worse and worse. Deceivers are deceiving and being deceived. It's getting like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, when they were marrying and giving in marriage, and building and drinking and making merry. When they was perverting sex and all making an animal passion and the things unseemly after the flesh, America is in the same shape today. I just got a clipping from Greenville, South Carolina. We're down in Florida. A boy that lived over close to where I used to live when I was a boy in Greenville. His dad hadn't seen him for I forget how many months. He had long blonde hair, and he came by one day with a man, and he told his daddy he was going to check on dope as a policeman. He never saw him since. They found down on the sands in a little shack the other day in Florida, I forget which part, a boy that had been killed and filled full of broken glass, tortured to the limit. Now they are holding this boy as the murderer. And as the police investigate, they find that this young group were devil worshipers in that little shack. One girl says she was married to one of them in a devil ceremony. This long-haired boy, they've got him for the murder. He's from Greenville, South Carolina, the very place that I came from. And you're talking about the bottomless pit being open and the demons coming forth like black smoke, brother. Dope is opening the bottomless pit of the depraved heart, and demons has been let loose in this earth like they've never been let loose before. Brother, then some still say the world is getting better and better. But anybody that has one eye and half sense knows better. And we know that this great religious hall, some of them is just as cold as an iceberg, and some of them has a zeal, but not according to the knowledge of God, as Paul said about Israel, that teaches dispensationism, Arminianism. They're going to miss the whole thing because they've been led astray by Satan at his will, and now they have a form of godliness denying the power of God, and they're preaching fables instead of the Word of God. They're looking for a watermelon patch out yonder instead of the eternal kingdom in heaven, in the new heaven and in the new earth. And it says here, and suddenly when they looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. Now God Almighty is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ in eternity. You'll never see God the Father only in the person of the Son of God. Because God's a spirit. No man has seen a spirit down here. You said, well, we've seen that God was in Christ reconciling the world, that world that He loved with an everlasting love unto Himself. The very essence of Jesus was God. He was Emmanuel, God manifested in the flesh. He said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Now, if you're in the kingdom of heaven, you see Jesus only as your salvation. You see Jesus only as bearing your iniquity in His body on the old accursed tree. You see Jesus only as the one that will take you through this troubled and dark, wicked generation. You see Jesus only, not an angel, not Gabriel, but Jesus only Himself coming to get His bride at the second coming. You see in the judgment seat of God, we look and we see Jesus only as the God-man, judging man, who is a depraved, sinful sinner that has hated God and trampled the blood of Jesus under their feet. And then when we get into eternity, we're going to look and we're going to see Jesus only as Lord of lords and King of kings, and we'll praise our God in and through Jesus Christ forever and ever, worlds without an end. Remember this, we can be joint heirs with Jesus, but no one will ever be a joint Lord. There's not but one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So what is the essence of the kingdom of heaven? It is Jesus, the exalted King at God's right hand, ruling in the church in the person of the Holy Ghost. And what is salvation but Christ in you, the hope of glory, and He's in you by grace through faith. He's in you in the person of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost does not testify of Himself, He said, for when He is come, He shall take of mine and reveal it unto you. The way you know that the Holy Ghost is in you, He is revealing Christ as your Lord, exalted at God's right hand. But today the average preacher is preaching Jesus as a God, little sentimental God sitting on the sideline, and it's all left up to man. They don't know where the mansions will be filled, where the bride will be made up or not. He's a little sentimental Jesus, and He died, and that's as far as He can go. It's left in the hands of man. Why, that's blasphemy. Salvation is of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is made up of people that's been born again, and that is the reason He said, except you receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child. The Holy Ghost has got to make a little child out of you to receive the kingdom of heaven in its present tense. Now, dear soul, you hear all over this world, everybody preaching about the new birth preaches about Nicodemus, don't they? Huh? Now let's see what He was talking to Nicodemus about. Will you turn with me to St. John, the 3rd chapter in your Bibles? And let's see if the new birth is not linked with the kingdom of heaven. I want you to turn. I want to lay it on your heart to always take the Bible. You don't know where I'm a prophet of God or a false prophet until you're born again and search the Scriptures like those most noble Jews in Thessalonica to see whether it be of God. And if I am of God and I know God has called me, you better hear what thus saith the Word of God. Now listen at it. In the 3rd verse. After Nicodemus had came to Him, but now said that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said in the 3rd verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that don't mean when you die. That means right now. You go out here to an old, dead, alienated sinner and tell him, don't he see you need Jesus, and don't you see you need Him to be with you? Well, that dead sinner can't see. He's blind spiritually. Have you seen a physical blind man that couldn't see the objects and he pecks with his cane or see an eye dog or someone leads him along? That's the way it is in the spiritual realm. I don't care how intellectual, if they've never been born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. They cannot see what goes on in the believer's heart. They are void of it. They will be void until they're born again. These people that's dropping off from church, they don't see the kingdom of heaven comes together when we gather together and we have a big time talking about our Savior and where we going, unless they're born again. That's the reason they can drop out. They're dropouts. They've never been born again. They can't see the kingdom of heaven. They always say, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. And we got to do a lot of things, but the main thing, we've got to die and meet God at the judgment. And that's the thing we ought to think about. Amen. Now look at the 5th verse. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of the water, which is the word of God, and of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A man has got to be born again to enter in to where the Holy Ghost can fill him and where the Holy Ghost can show him his clothing in Christ and give him joy and peace in his soul in the Holy Ghost. A man's got to be born again to be in the kingdom of heaven. You don't join a church to get into the kingdom of heaven. Like the primitive Baptists say, no, you don't do that, but you are birthed into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again to see it and to enter in. Now, how does a man see the kingdom of heaven? He sees it when he looks at the Lord Jesus as one that was incarnated, that died, rose again, and now at God's right hand, and he's able to save to the uttermost. They see that, they go to him, and they're put into the kingdom of heaven when they're put into Jesus. Now, when do they see it? He tells us on down there a little bit further, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When they look and see Jesus suffering and taking their place, their propitiation, and they see it was for them, then they are put into the kingdom. They see the kingdom and they're asked for a mission when they ask for mercy and grace at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do they enter? They enter in when they are given faith to trust to receive, for God so loved the world. And that doesn't mean head for head. I've heard a lot of people say that means everybody. Doesn't do it. For God so loved the world, the Pacific world. Over in the 17th chapter of John, the 9th verse, Jesus said, I pray not for the world. Now, would he love the world and not pray for it? 1,000 times, no. The next verse says, for Jesus came not into the world to condemn it. No, it's already condemned. But that the world that he loves with an everlasting love through him might be saved. You say, preacher, you're getting it complicated. Are there more than one world? Yeah, over in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that God spoke in times past by the prophets, but in these latter days, he spoke unto us by his dear Son, by whom he made the worlds, and they're plural. Now, listen to me just a minute. If God means everybody in the world head for head, what did he mean when he singled the believer from the world in one place in the Scripture when he said, if you was of the world would love its own? That separates you from the world, there, don't it? Huh? He said in the 9th or the 10th chapter of John, he said, for condemnation I came into the world. Now, he's not contradicting himself. You need to see as it is put in the context. You must get the mind of the Spirit to see what he's talking about. Now, when one can come to trust and rely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus and receive what he did in his person as their salvation, they're in the kingdom of heaven. Now you hear all over the world that Elijah's got to come. That's what the dispensationalist is teaching, that Elijah's got to come first. But Jesus Christ told them when he came down off of that mountain, if you can receive it, Elijah has already come. And they knew that he spoke of John the Baptist. I mean, yeah, John, the beloved John. Or John the Baptist. That's right, it was John the Baptist. He has already come. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and he came before the kingdom when the Holy Ghost came and Jesus was put on the throne of the hearts of those that were born again. The kingdom was in movement. The kingdom was in operation, and it's still in operation. The church, not the Pope, still has the keys of the kingdom. And, brethren, we can ask believing when it's not to be asked to be consumed upon our own lust, as James said, but when it's asked for the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom and his glory, we can ask and it shall be given. Methodist preacher came by last week. First Methodist I seen that had any fire in them in a long time. He'd been hearing the broadcast from Blackstone, Virginia. He'd moved over close to South Hill. I don't want to use I because I deserve hell. But God, through His marvelous grace, had let this preacher hear the broadcast. He said, "Preacher, those messages just trim me up and I'm preaching the gospel." I said, "Well, there are not many Methodists preaching it." He said, "Well, I owe nothing to the Methodists. I owe it all to my God who saved my soul through Christ Jesus." And he said, "You know, some of my members is hearing you over there on the radio. Things is beginning to get stirred up, and two of the stewards come to me." He said, "I told my wife I was coming in here to see you. He's going to Isla Vista now. And said they told me what I had to preach and what I couldn't preach. I told them this as kindly as I could, that nobody was going to tell me what to preach. I was going to preach what God gave me." And he said, "Sure enough," that old steward said, "well, we'll see." And he said, "He made it so hard for me, it was awful. Not long ago, we went into the church and I said, 'Everybody that knows Jesus and can pray, pray with me.' He said, 'Preacher, I prayed like this.' He said, 'Lord, you said if I asked anything in your name, believing, it shall be given.' He said, 'Here's a man that's hindering your work. And if you will, I wish you'd move him out of the way.' 1 week and a half from that, the man ate his supper, got up from the chair and pitched forward on his face, dead with a heart attack. He said, 'It's really moving over there.' I kind of wondered then, should I have went off that radio station? Let me tell you something, brethren. This is God's business, and it's great business. The kingdom of heaven is linked with the lordship of Christ, and it's linked with the obedience of the subjects. Those that are born again, they are led by the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God tells us, 'For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.' And the Spirit of God leads them in paths of holiness. The Spirit of God leads them in the commandments of God. The Spirit of God doesn't lead them wrong. The Spirit of God leads them to trust Jesus and to confess their sins and the hope in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But how many that are saved today? I want to say this before I quit. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm talking from the depth of my heart. Is Jesus your Lord? Do you bow before His scepter? Do you bow at His throne of grace and worship Him? Is He your all in all? Is He to you the greater than the lilies of the valley, the bright and the morning star? Is He your Lord and your God, as Thomas came to see Him to be? If not, your soul, don't rest upon your profession. Because everybody that's born again, they're in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is upon the throne of their hearts. And He is leading those dear souls by Spirit and the written Word of God. I realize they have a time in this world. They look and they see the wicked making money and riding in Cadillac and limousines. It seems as though living in pleasure and in leisure. But listen, their time is short. Ours is yet to come. I think it won't be long till my Savior shall ascend from heaven with the shout and the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going up to be with the Lord. And then He's coming back to this earth with His holy angels to execute judgment upon this earth and to convince ungodly men of their ungodly speeches and to be glorified in the elect and praised of all. Then there's going to be a fire bath upon this earth and the great white throne judgment of God, the general judgment. Then those that will plead and did not have Him for Lord, they'll be cast away into the everlasting lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever, always dying but never dying, under God's eternal retribution forever and forever. But we that are alive and remain this earth will undergo its change. And listen, I say this earth because we find in the 8th chapter of Romans that this earth is groaning right now and travailing, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And if it wasn't going to be here, the glorified earth will be. Why is it groaning? To be brought out from under that curse. That's the reason it's groaning, and we ourselves groan, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. I believe it's not long. So don't be discouraged, pilgrims. The Bible said to do all you can do to stand, then still stand. These you see in this great falling away, don't talk but weep over their souls. Cry for their souls, because they'll scream in eternal retribution if God Almighty in mercy doesn't move and give them mercy through His marvelous grace. So I finish with this. Are you in the kingdom? Your soul is a sphere of a kingdom. In that soul, that kingdom can go all over the world. You can think all over the world and up into heaven and even down below the earth. The Holy Spirit can take you in flights and set you in the heavenly places, because you're in your being is the kingdom of heaven. Someday there's going to be an outward in the new heaven and the new earth that'll go with our soul. We'll have a body then fashioned like unto Jesus. And then in the everlasting kingdom we'll be, never to die, never to fear death, never to fear hell. Dear awakened sinner, you that do not have the Jesus as your Lord, flee to Him today. Bow at His feet and recognize Him as Lord and ask for mercy. May God the Holy Spirit grant through His marvelous grace. May we pray. Dear Almighty, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we've come to You, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus and lift these listeners up to Thee. O eternal God, Thou that inhabiteth eternity and dwelleth in a broken heart and a contrite spirit, how much longer, O Lord? Lord, when I see men and women going as beasts to the slaughter and they never think about You that deserve to be honored and worshiped and recognized, when I think about those poor souls that will burn forever, oh God, will You grant mercy to America? Will you revive us once again in the awful state of apostasy? Oh, Father, Thy great Holy One, take this message. Don't let it fall to the ground, but let it accomplish Your will and Your purpose, because You are worthy. For we ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen. You're dismissed.